Praise God. So I'm excited. Thank you for everybody being here today. We have some guests here. So we're going to include you on something that I really feel like God wanted us to participate in today. And how many know it's kind of good for it to not be your first rodeo if you plan on winning? That's kind of a statement that we had. Well, this ain't my first rodeo, you know. What does that mean? You've been there already. You're familiar with what's going on. Man, I don't know if you watch these bull, what do they call them? Bull riders. It's hard to watch that stuff. Nobody rides them. It's like they look like they're a bunch of newbies all the time. That bull gets out there, man, he knocks them off like in 2 seconds. It's like, is there anybody here that knows how to ride? And then there was this guy, this Mexican guy that he doesn't even hold his hands. I don't know if you've seen that video or not. He's got a cigarette in his mouth, and he's riding his bull, and this bull's doing all kinds of stuff, and he's just going like this, and he doesn't fall off. It's like, now that guy's been to the rodeo before. He might be having some other stuff help him out with this, but he's been there before. And you know, so we have the Easter coming up next Sunday, and we've been sharing about this. We need to have our vessels ready so that the presentation of Jesus is on is clean, is right. We need to have our hearts. We need to be joyful about this, right? We need to be excited about. We get to do something where there's going to be some other people, and I just want to encourage us to really have this heart. And this is what we get in Him, is a heart that it's, I'm not coming here for me at all. I'm coming here so that somebody can find Jesus. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So that means my attention's going to have to be on them. It's kind of like that, we don't want to have this, we hope they like us when they show up. We want them to know that we like them. Yeah. You know, isn't that good that that's how Jesus is for us? Yeah. As wonderful as He is, it's not how great He is that gets us to Him. It's just how much His love for us is. It's His goodness goodness that draws us to Him. Yes. Amen. Yes. And so I want to continue this one more time, that I feel like we need to be able to have that kind of a mindset that we are a little bit rehearsed in implementing, imparting this life that we have. I want to encourage us in this. A lot of times we can grow up in church. We can get used to going and just being faithful because that's what we've been told to do since we were a little kid. And, you know, and there needs to be this becoming familiar with, oh, I have a treasured resource that somebody needs me to impart to them. Yeah. So it needs to be a mindset that, man, we're looking for an opportunity. We're ready for something to, we're looking, okay, man, you just wait. When we show up, somebody in need is going to have their need met. Yeah. Amen? Amen? Because we've been prepared for this. Yeah. So it needs to be something where I want to encourage us in this. We always carry the glory of God. Yeah. In our homes. You know, I was thinking about this just while we were greeting each other. Isn't it fun to greet each other? And, you know, it's good to see you. So glad you're here. And you know, we have these ladies on the back row over here. I just, you know, it's just a simple touch of a hand. There's a communication. And we need to realize, and we're going to hit this today, and it's good. Even while I'm speaking, we need to sense the Holy Spirit here. Right now, can we just honor His presence right now? Amen. Welcome Him. Aren't you grateful for songs that we have now and all the PA system and all the tracks and everything? But there's one purpose that it's for. It's to welcome the presence of God by lifting up His praises. Amen. And the opening of hearts for Him to have His way. You know what we're going to call that today? We're going to call that the anointing. All right? It's the life of God that is in a tangible form that's touching people. Yeah. Amen? And I don't know about you, but just when we do this right now, just taking a moment and just, I don't know about you, but man, it's good. It's the tangible presence of God. Yeah. Amen? And He will make a change. He will make a difference where He's honored in this way. This is life that we've been given as a resource. It's come to live on the inside of us. It never leaves us, ever. But it gets its greatest experience, not just in its reception, but it's when it's imparted. Okay? So, can we look at this today? I want to look at preparing to impart. Because I want to see this is what we get our vessels good, we get our hearts right. For what reason? So that we can impart something that we've received. How many have been blessed? How many have received? Freely you've received, so what do? Freely give. But for that to take place, it doesn't need to be something that we're not familiar with. It needs to be something that's natural. It just happens, right? And it should be what's happening all the time. And I'm talking to the choir right now, so just kind of be encouraged in what you're already doing, right? I believe we can draw some stuff from this, all right? Let's look here first, because what day is today? Palm Sunday, right? What was that about? You know, it's interesting to me how many things Jesus fulfilled just because they were prophesied about him. But how that's part of God's plan, yeah? How there's things that he just walked it out because it was prophesied, but it had a great purpose. And there's one purpose that I want to draw from this today that I think we can see and we can lay a hold upon and identify with today. Because what happened? It was the week before Easter, right? Or week before he was going to be crucified, right? And it was such a dramatic difference to a week later. He was being celebrated. They were saying, this is the son of David, Hosanna. And a big parade going on and palms put down. That's why it's called Palm Sunday because, they were saying, who is this guy? You know, there were some people that didn't know who it was. And they said, oh, the whole crowd was just saying, that's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth, right? I mean, he was being celebrated big time. But what was the difference between that and a week later? Because everybody left him, right? His closest disciples left him. What happened in that process? And so I kind of want to draw this out today because let me read here Matthew 21:9 here first. And this is just a description of what's being celebrated today. Then the crowds who went ahead of him and those who followed kept shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. He who comes in the name of the Lord is the blessed one. Hosanna in the highest heaven. When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, saying, who is this? And the crowds kept saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. What was happening? All these people were proclaiming who Jesus was, weren't they? But if you can look at this, though, because there was a little bit of a separation. They were exalting him, but in a different way that's going to happen later on. And let's look at what this is here. Let's look at John 4:23 now. Because remember, he met this lady by the well, and he's having a conversation with her. And he starts talking about what's fixing to happen after his work on the cross. Right? And I believe it can give us a little bit of illumination on why things change for these people. Because, you know, you can praise somebody, and we do this all the time. There's American Idol, you know, we can praise people, but how quickly, it's interesting to me how, who's some of these people, like from even like Neil Diamond. If I were to say Neil Diamond, most kids wouldn't understand who that is. And yet they'll go, Sweet Caroline, bum, bum, bum. Good times never were so good, so good, so good. So they'll do all that, but they don't even know who Neil Diamond is, right? That's a good one. Oh, it fades. Popularity fades, doesn't it? Unless, and let's look at this, okay? So Jesus was saying something, that worship, this is what we did this morning, but we did it in a different way than before the cross. This is what I want to look at. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now. Don't you like He said, man, this is what you're getting right now. When the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Yeah. They're not just declaring who he is, but they're connected to him. Yeah. That's the difference. Amen? The Father's looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit. So those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. So I'm looking at Palm Sunday. I'm thinking, these people, they know who he is. They're praising who he is. They're singing all the right Chris Tomlin songs. But they're ready to shift over to Israel Houghton next week because they haven't become one with him. I'm dropping some names. You might not. It might be like Neil Diamond to some of y'all. I don't know. But once you make a heart connection, you never lose that. And that's the difference. He said, the time is coming when it's not going to be about Palm Sunday, because you're going to be worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Something's changed on the inside. You're not the same person you were before. And now you become one with the one that you're praising. Oh, that's so different, isn't it? That's why it's so good to praise him like this. And we need to be drawn into the passion of it. Why? Because we don't want to just worship him from afar. We don't want to be drawn away to something else in a week and forget what we had in his presence. Amen? We worship him connected to him. All right? So this is what I wanted to see about Palm Sunday here, and connect it a little bit to what I'm seeing is being prepared for Easter Sunday next week. Can we do that? Because I really believe that God has a purpose for us in this time, that his word will speak to our spirits as we uncover this, amen? Because we haven't come into the kingdom to just be receivers. We've come into the kingdom to be imparters. Amen. And I mean, that's when being in the kingdom is good. Amen. You get your greatest joy. What? Not in receiving, in giving. Amen. And sometimes I think the greatest thing that could be imparted to somebody that's going through a difficult time is, okay, what can you do for somebody else? Because you can get your joy in the middle of the biggest difficulty. Man, there's my wife's, we went and saw this. Anybody heard of Cabrina? Cabrini? Okay, I got that wrong. Cabrini. I think I had heard of her before, but man, they have she was this nurse from Italy, or this nun from Italy. They had all kinds of opposition to her. I mean, she's a woman. They wouldn't let her do anything in the church because she is a woman. And she's wanting to start, and she was sick. She had a respiratory problem or blood problem or something. But anyway, what she was able to accomplish was because she saw something beyond what she was going through every time. Wow. You know, she was able to see beyond where she was at the moment and go to something bigger, and gave. She gave her life. At the end, my wife said, the best part of that movie was at the end, because it showed how many places all around the world that she started hospitals. And orphanages. Ran by women. And they, no, we won't say that part. They were all run by women. But so this liberation thing has been going on for a long time. And it's because you can't hold back somebody that knows who they are. That isn't impressed by what they're going through, but has found the joy of giving. Amen? Beyond where they are. Amen? So, you know what? This is, I thought about this so much because she went to New York and was able to get this thing started in New York. And I mean, when things were just really terrible there. but when they gave those statistics of all those people that went, or all the places all around the world where she had done orphanages and hospitals and all these kinds of things. And it was all for people that were poor and stuff. But I'm thinking, she didn't go to all those. No, she created a movement of people that got that same spirit. Yeah. And that's really what we've been called into in the kingdom, yes, is to lose your life, yeah, to find it in me. Right. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Find it in giving. And that's what we've been called to as a church body, is to lose self-focus, yeah, navel-gazing. lose this thing that is keeping us from from somebody else being able to see Jesus, because we do. Amen. I'm just so impressed by how real God really is in the middle of all this other junk going on. It's trying to make us afraid of all kinds of different things, and we don't have anything to be afraid of. What we have on the inside is an anointing that will break every yoke of bondage because of the power and the life of God that's so big in us, if we'll get in the habit of imparting it. Amen. It's ready to be released all the time. And you know what? It's no different than was in the apostles. It's the same power. It's the same spirit. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. We carry it right now, don't we? Yeah. Look at your neighbor and say, man, you are full of it. All right. All right, let's go to 2 Corinthians 2:14. We'll get to do this a little bit more in a little bit, okay? I really believe God has me doing something here today that will be good for us, all right? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now we're part of the procession. So what happened on Palm Sunday was a lot of people with Jesus going by, right? So what happened, though, when Jesus went to hell for us, now he rose again and triumphed over us, and now we're not standing on the sidelines watching a parade go by. We are the parade. And when we go somewhere, it's him going there. Yeah. Amen? Right. Talk about getting connected to something better than Neil Diamond. We're the procession. Yeah. Amen? He lives in us. It's huge in us. Yes. All right, let's see. I love this passage. Don't you like this verse? Now we're part of the procession. 2 Corinthians 2:14. But thank God. Just say thank God. Thank God. Come on, him. Thank God. All right, come on. Thank God. What does that mean? It's done. It's done. Aren't you grateful for that? But thank God, he has made us his captives. That means we are now one with him. The triumph that he obtained was to gain us, and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. Now, wherever we're going, he uses us. Man, that's pretty special, isn't it? Did you know that you're a minister? You're a leader? You're taking people somewhere? Amen? We all are. Especially once we've become one with him, now we're part of his purpose that he's wanting to accomplish. It's a triumphant purpose. Amen? But he needs us to be walking along, not sitting on the curb, right? He needs that smell to be coming out from us wherever we're going. Amen? And we've been preparing for that. We've been getting our vessels clean. We've been getting our hearts right? Getting these things in place. But now there needs to be an activation of that. An impartation. Man, look at your hands right now. Just look at your hands. These hands carry the anointing of God. Amen? We need revelation of this, don't we? And you know how long it takes for that to happen? I was thinking about that. Because you don't have to become a sage. You don't have to become really old in the Lord. You don't have to get this stuff on your head, you know, this white stuff. No, a child. Yes. As soon as they come to know the Lord, they are infused with the same power that raised Christ from the grave. Yeah. and the ability to impart it. And the only thing that's holding them back is fear and doubt. I don't believe it. But what about? As soon as that happens, that's like a shutting down the impartation valve, right? But that's not what we are. We're believers. We spoke some things. How many have been speaking this that we talked about last week over each other? Amen? We're speaking, this is who we are. We're one, we're united, we're strong, we're pure. Amen? Yes. With a purpose to impart. So, next week, we have some songs planned. I'm gonna share a few words, sunrise service, we're gonna sing some songs, it's gonna be fun. Amen? But there's really one purpose in coming there, and it's for people to be ministered to. And that's not my responsibility. Actually, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility. Amen?
Yes.
But he needs all of us. Amen? Yes. He needs all of us together. Taking that treasure that we've received and turning on the spigot of impartation. Yeah. And it doesn't have to be some weird thing. It just needs to be an awareness that this is mine to give. I'm going to give it in honesty, transparency, reality, and it's life. Amen? What we have is for sharing, Acts 3, 5 through 6. Don't you like this? The first real famous miracle. And Peter did something here that we're going to look at. The lame man looked at them eagerly. They're going into the temple, right? They're going to some place to have a prayer meeting. So they were had a good a thing going on already. They got interrupted by a lame man at the temple expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. Now, something is really strong in what he's saying right there is he knows what he has. He knows the power of what he has. Amen? This isn't his first rodeo. Remember what happened? Jesus sent him out in twos to go out and heal and do the things that he did, right? Kind of amazing. But Peter gets to this man and he says, I don't have those things that you need, but I have something. Man, there needs to be this elevation of what we have to give. That is so much bigger than those monetary things. It's so much greater. Really, you know, when you get that perspective on it, when we're talking about giving, those things are just to come along and support what we have.
Right.
They aren't what we have.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
They're to help and make it possible for what we have to be received. Amen? Because what we have is what changes people. And, you know, even the healing that this man got, when Jesus went around and did healing, what did the people really need? They needed to be saved, didn't they? Even the healing was something that was a purpose that was bigger, that he was using it for a greater purpose, right? But listen to this. I'll give you what I have in the name of Jesus Christ. What is that? As if Jesus himself is right here, right now. Get up and walk. All right, there's a verse right after that. I don't know if anybody has their actual Bible, if you want to look at that too. It says, he leaned down and he took him by the hand and he lifted him. Now, what's interesting about this, it doesn't say that he was healed and then he lifted him. It says, he touched him and as he lifted him, he was healed. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
So, and Peter, I mean, you could think, man, Peter is really cruel. He's being mean to that poor lame man. He's lifting him up when he can't. Can he see he can't walk? But he knew what he had. So when he touched him, it wasn't just an assumption, it wasn't a presumption, it was faith that was reaching down, because when he touched him, what he had went into the man. Amen? And when he went to raise him, what he had came out of the man in healing power.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
But Peter's actions, what were they? They were a declaration, first of all, that he had something. And then he reached down and he knew. He had seen Jesus do this so many times. What did Jesus do? He touched. There was a touch that affected healing. There was a touch that imparted. Amen? Can you see how essential? What if Peter hadn't have done that? He said, sorry, dude, I just don't have anything today. Catch me tomorrow, maybe. I might have something tomorrow. What would have happened? What do we do? What opportunity do we have next week? It's not what's going on the platform that's going to be the most important thing. It's going to be that person right next to us. Amen? That we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit. We just reach over and take a hand. You know, we don't know. We don't know what somebody's going through, but we're ready. Amen? And we're not afraid of it. It's not something that's unusual to us. Does this sound like a good plan? Does it sound like something we need to be prepared for? It's actually not really complicated. It really wasn't complicated what Peter did. He just reached down and touched him. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. And lifted him up. All right, let's look at another one here. Where the Spirit is on, he proclaims through. Okay. There's a Spirit that's come to live on the inside of us, but there's a Spirit that's come to rest upon us too, right? Yeah. Yes. Happened in the upper room. They were already born again, weren't they? But the Spirit came on him. Something else happened when that Spirit came on him. It came on him not to just come on him. Now, I've grown up in believing in the full gospel, everything that God wants to do. We wanna receive all of it. Amen. And that it's so good, but what is the purpose of it? The purpose of the Spirit coming on is so that it can go through.
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
Come on. Amen. Yeah. And so you're missing out. I mean, I've experienced this before where it's all about the experience. It's all about what we're experiencing. Oh, that was just so wonderful, but did it produce any throughness?
Yes.
Because the throughness is what makes a difference.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. That's when that goodness of God is actually imparted to somebody else because you've allowed what's on you to go through you.
Yeah.
Amen?
That's so good.
All right, we're going to get to practice this. Are you getting ready? Are you getting excited? Man, you're saying, man, I wish you'd hurry up and get done so we could just practice this. All right. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord, don't you like this? Jesus is actually quoting from Psalm. It said, the Spirit of the Lord is where? Upon me. For he has anointed me. What does that mean? He's given me this resource of life that is way beyond me. So this is really cool because we don't have to come up with this. It's not about how great we are, how much we can. You know, even having faith isn't something you have to work up. It's like, It's not that. It's just getting revelation of what you have. Amen. And declaring it. What's Jesus doing right here? Did you know that it's critical what he did? He stood up and proclaimed something that was his.
Yeah.
There's a need for us to be doing this in this time that's coming up. We've made some proclamations this last week, right? Over our church body, over the people that we're going to encounter next week. But we need to begin to proclaim what we have, who we are, to impart with. Can you see this?
Yeah.
He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the name of the Lord's favor has come. Did you know he actually stopped before the completion of everything that he had been anointed to do? There's a lot more things that were that were in the Psalms version of this. But he said, that's enough for him. This is what I've been. Did you know what Christ means? It means the anointed, doesn't it? Do you know what Christian is? People that are connected to the anointing. That's what we are. It's all about this anointing, isn't it? And what did Jesus do? He stood up and proclaimed, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. What is really wonderful about this is we are just being obedient to something we already have. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to proclaim deliverance, to bring healing, to bring hope to people that are bound, to break chains, to set people free. Amen? Well, you know, we praise Jesus. We praise how he's the son of David. He's all these things. But what did he say the whole purpose of all of it was for it to go through? Said, this is on me so that it can go through me. Amen? I would like for us to identify with that because we are Christians, aren't we?
Yes.
We're anointed ones. Right? So that means we're either withholding. You know, I didn't realize this. You can actually, you can be indicted for not providing care for somebody that needs it in a time of emergency if you have it within your possession to take care of it. You can actually be, you're committing a crime if you have the ability to provide help to somebody, salvation to somebody, just in a natural sense. But how much in a spiritual sense? God says, I gave you the power. I gave you the anointing. And it's not even something you have to come up with. It's just the Spirit on you that enables you to provide for somebody in need. Right? But there needs to be this revelation. This is so wonderful. This is a wonderful thing about Jesus. He knew so much about himself. We just need to know more about ourselves most of the time, right? Because if we just had revelation of what we actually have. You know, somebody can be in great peril and you don't even know that you have the ladder. You don't even know that you have the fire extinguisher. And you're failing and you don't even know it. But today, you know it, all right? We get the revelation from God. And the wonderful thing about it, it's not our failure that is the big deal here. It's their peril that is the big deal. And God wants to help both. He says, I just want to help you with, I understand that this is your first rodeo, but I'm going to help you with that.
Yes.
Amen? All right, let's look at this. Life imparting touch. So it's important. We're just gonna practice this a little bit because we need to understand that I've been anointed to touch things. It's not a small thing when I show up, when I smell like God. My presence is not a small thing. My presence is the glory of God. Amen. Mark 16:17. I'm just gonna read a couple of these real quick. And these signs will follow those who believe. How many believe here today? Everybody believe? Raise your hand. All right? All right. We're believers, aren't we? All right. So everybody's in the same camp here today, right? And these signs will follow those that believe. So here's how you know if you're really a believer, not just if you raise your hand, but if there's some signs following you. Man, look at, they're going down the road and they got some signs. Following them. I'm sorry, that's kind of funny. But it should be that way. You identify a believer by what's following them. Amen. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And then what? And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Who's saying that? Jesus, the anointed one. He said, the same power I have All power in heaven and earth has been given to me. So you go do it because I live in you. Amen? Yes. But what did they do? And they laid hands. And they laid hands. There's a lot of different functions for laying hands. And real quick, there is a verse that came to mind, and I don't know if you're familiar with this, and you can say, well, this verse says this. It says, don't lay hands on somebody suddenly. And that doesn't mean... it's not talking about not hitting people really hard. It's actually, there was a laying on of hands when you are sending somebody into ministry. And we're going to be doing this a little bit today, okay? When you're anointing somebody to be functional in the kingdom, and that verse where it says that, he's saying, don't take somebody that's been out of fellowship, walking in the world, turn their back on God. Don't just go ahead and anoint them again and say you're good to go. That's what that's saying right there. But I believe you can be quick to lay hands on people that are in need, that are in need of an anointing, the life of God, right? So let's read Acts 8:18. Gifts of the Spirit are imparted through laying on of hands. This life that we have in us is meant to impart spiritual gifts. Now, and again, we got to get away from thinking that we're just somebody that sits in the pew. No, we're the ministers. Yeah. Amen? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The reason why we're sitting in the pew is to get to become better ministers. Yeah. We come here to get trained, to get helped. Yeah. Yeah. Amen?
Yes.
And when Simon saw, who's Simon? He's a sorcerer. He is somebody that had been to the rodeo with a different leader. Yeah. Right? He'd been following Satan. And Satan had been giving him some things, but he was like to make money from it. So that's how he was actually attracted here. When Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. So what happened in the New Testament, they laid hands on people, and they would start speaking in tongues, in a language that... they would receive a gift. When did that happen? It wasn't the person that was laying the hands. It was the Spirit that was in them.
Yes.
Amen. There needs to be a confidence in the Spirit that's in us.
Yeah.
It will bring a gift to somebody.
Yes.
It will bring help and healing to them. Amen. All right. Let's look at Acts 9:17. Are you doing good this morning?
Yes.
Amen. We're getting prepared, aren't we?
Yes.
We are ministers of God's grace.
That's right.
Yeah. We need to not be holding back.
Yeah.
We don't need God to be saying, what were you doing with what I gave you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
And Ananias went his way and entered the house, and laying his hands on him, he said. So remember what happened. This is Paul, Saul, still. And he'd got knocked off of his horse by a light, and Jesus had talked to him, but he was blinded, right?
Mm-hmm.
What I thought was kind of cool about this isn't some established person that you've heard of before. It's just Ananias. Maybe just a seat warmer, you know, according to church. Not the one up in front. And God uses him to be the one that lays hands on the one that's bringing revelation of Christ to the church. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, he's telling him where he came from,
wow,
has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He laid hands on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's able to see. All right. I'm going to challenge us today. Can we do this a little bit? Can we draw on this Spirit that, you know, it's so good to just sit back and receive of the Spirit. But what I want us to practice just a little bit before we go today, I want to practice releasing what we have, imparting what we have, getting our mind off of what we need completely. Can we do this? Amen?
Yeah.
I believe this is critical for the things that we need in our life. You gain greater faith in the God that's actually going to do it when you're imparting it to somebody else.
True. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
All right. 2 Timothy 1:6. So it's up to us. You know, I had everybody raise your hand. We're all believers, right? And if we're not, we're going to have an opportunity to do that. Might need to renew our belief, all of us, right? But once you've received that, it becomes our responsibility to keep the flame of it burning, to do something with it. If you allow something just to go dormant, it'll die. If you allow it to not ever be stirred up, it will fall away and become ineffective. So it has to be intentionally practiced. All right? This is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid hands on you. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline. I think sound mind, I think, is a King James version of that, right?